This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is FUBAR Radio. I'm Harriet Rose. We are back. We had a little week off last week, but we're back and we're going to kick off the show with a brand new song. First drop from Mark Ronson's new project. Looks like it's going to be jam-packed with star features. I'm sure Lady Gaga's on there. Miley's also in London right now, Miley Cyrus. I think she's doing a live lounge with Mark Ronson. So who cares about that, though? Because you can listen to it right now. This track, Miley's been hiding away, obviously, since Younger Now album in 2017. And this is Ronson's first solo track since 2015's Uptown Special, which, of course, had the famous Uptown Funk on it. This album that he's bringing out now, though, is full of sad bangers, according to Ronson, which makes me feel very sad. But apparently they're going to be bangers, so we're all happy. They're going to be performing on Saturday Night Live as well on the 15th, so stay tuned for that because it's obviously going to be a sick performance. And go check out the car chase video that's online now. This is Nothing Breaks Like a Heart, Mark Ronson, Miley Cyrus.
This world can hurt you. It cuts you deep and leaves a scar. Things fall apart, but nothing breaks like a heart. Nothing breaks like a heart. I heard you on the phone last night. We live and die by pretty lies. You know it, we both know it. These silver bullet cigarettes, this burning house, there's nothing left, it's smoking. We both know it. We got all night to fall in love, but just like that we fall apart. We're broken, we're broken. Nothing, nothing, nothing gonna save us now. With this broken silence, by thunder crashing in the dark, crashing in the dark. And this broken record spinning less circles in the bar, spin round in the bar. This world can hurt you, it cuts you deep and leaves a scar. Things fall apart, but nothing breaks like a heart. Cold as ice and high and dry, the desert wind is blowing, it's blowing. Remember what you said to me, you were drunk in love in Tennessee. And I hold it, you both know it. Nothing, nothing, nothing gonna save us now. Nothing, nothing, nothing gonna save us now. With this broken.
On FUBAR Radio.
A warm welcome. The composers are joining me this morning. Hello. How are we, guys?
Very, very good.
Things seem to be very exciting for you at the moment. I've just seen on your Twitter, www.twitter.com, you're up to something.
We are up to something.
What are you up to?
Well, to be honest, I think that was off the bat of something we did last night. I can't announce it, I guess, because we put pictures everywhere now. So
tell me.
I'll put it out. But yesterday,
tell us.
We were involved with Alan Carshall. That's right.
You look very dapper. You look very dapper, and I'm seeing the image. They're all wearing very nice suits of different shades of green and blue. Am I correct?
That's right. Yeah.
In the jacket, very suave, guys. Yes. Very suave. Yes. Is it important to stay suave in the composers?
It's all about staying composed. It's all in the name. You know what I mean? Like, composure is from the personality to the outfits to the how you play, how you perform, how you comport yourself. Everything. The composure and the composers work hand in hand. So,
yeah, oh, I see. So you have to have composure.
Composure.
To be in the composers.
And a beard, basically. And a beard as well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's actually the number
that's
one.
That's the only thing stopping me from getting genuine. Although, every other month, sometimes, bit of a beard.
Boy.
Just get it threaded off, don't I? So, we're very excited. A Night with the Composers is coming up at Brixton Academy on Sunday, the 16th of December.
Correct.
Everyone's getting very gassed. I was just saying to you a minute ago on social media, what do we have in store? Because I know you've announced some artists already. Last year, Mr. Easy came on with you.
Surprised us.
Yeah, I know that there's some surprises this time, but who have you announced so far? Because I don't want to say people and then be like...
Yeah. We've announced Unknown T. We've announced
Homer and B.
We've announced Lotto Boys.
We've announced
NSG.
Come on.
And then One Day Cole, aka the Black Diamond. So, and then we've got a whole bunch of special guests that people are just going to be mind blown when they see them.
Yeah, but so that's a pretty good lineup without any special guests, right?
Yeah, but you know what? Like last year, we brought out One Nation, Afro B, Hardy Caprio, and then Mr. Easy came and surprised us. And the year before that, we didn't really bring anyone out. Kojo Funds and Young Bane.
They actually opened up for us. They weren't really big like that.
And Kojo Funds came out in the set. That's when Kojo was like, released Done Talking.
It was early days.
Like Done Talking was not that long ago as well. It's weird, isn't it? Because it's like that 2 years ago.
It shows how quick things move and expand in this music industry. So, I mean, since then, they've all gone on to do phenomenal things. But I say all of that to just make the point that we haven't ever really bought out a full array of artists. We just bought like one or two or three or whatever.
But now it's gone extra.
We're going to push the boat all the way out with this. I mean, it's Brixton at the end of the day. When you do your Brixton Academy show, you got to come with the flavours. You need to make it something people are going to remember.
How do you feel about it being Brixton Academy? Because that is a flipping massive, and also it's a massive venue, and it comes with a lot of kudos, and it comes with a lot of memories and sort of like vibes within it anyway.
Do you know what it's I don't want to say it's calm, because that's not what it is, but I guess
you're chill, you're just like, no, I'm fine.
Do you know what it is? I think, you know, we've been doing this for quite some time now, and you know, we've had the opportunity to play at Brixton before, but I guess the difference this time is we're doing it ourselves. Like, you know, we are the ones taking to the stage. Like, our names are on the bill. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's more of a special feeling. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, just knowing where this show began, how it began, what it was about 5 years ago, to see what it is, to see that it's in Brixton, you know. To be honest, I'd go as far as saying, even at the time where we started doing this, I don't think we understood the magnitude of what Brixton Academy was in those early days as composers. We just probably thought, oh, it's just some any venue.
Did you go to gigs when you were younger, though? Because if you didn't go to gigs there when you were younger,
I didn't really go to, I guess.
I think it's after we had performed there like the first time, and then we started watching videos of other shows that had happened.
That's
and
when was we like, kind of understand.
This place is pretty prestigious.
Better that you did that after you performed.
And do you know what's crazy? Even when I was going through that, I showed my parents. My dad was like, "Yeah, I went to like a few concerts." My dad was like, "You went to a few concerts there, like back in the like 80s, 90s time." Do you know what I mean? So now,
but like, they were good.
Yeah, exactly.
And so now, that's what I'm saying. So to understand, and the beauty of us is, you know, we have a wide span of, you know, our audience is, it spans from different ages. So I guess the sentimental value of it to different people is gonna, like, you know, our parents come to the shows, so they'll probably sit there. Wow, like we used to be these kids that are down there coming to other shows, and now our kids are perform. Do you know what I mean? So like, there's all these different elements. That's why I just say it's more of a special show,
yeah,
you know, more than
special.
Anything.
And it's near Christmas, so it's gonna have that Christmas warm vibe that everyone's like turned off, switched off for work, and just ready to
turn up,
lose party, their heads.
turn up. Yeah, that's it.
It's a really exciting time, and also exciting time for you guys because, as you say, the growth has been so great, and with the rise of grime and the rise of Afrobeats and the rise of this amazing musical situation that we're having in the UK right now.
Yeah.
Did you see it coming, or was it like, because as you say, it was about like, it really banged out like 2-3 years ago when suddenly everyone was just, it became the new pop music.
Yeah, I mean, I think the beauty of our thing is we got in at the right time, or we started to make active steps towards this thing that we do at the right time, because we were always doing like individual like sessions with different artists and stuff like that. So some of us would work with like someone's worked with what's the name of the lady who's working with
Kaiser.
Like loads of different genred artists, like Dappy, like all of us have worked with so many different artists. And then when we decided that we're going to take this a lot more seriously and come together as a unit, it was a perfect time, because then infused with the fact that we are four Ghanaian guys who live in the UK, we've got the whole African heritage, but being here, so playing Afrobeats music as well as having the authentic urban twist of growing up during grime and all of that, it was a perfect marriage. And then we had the ability to obviously play live instruments. It was just like, boom, like nobody can do this like the way we can do it. Let's step and be the people on the front and make this happen. So we got in at the right time, which was about 5-6 years ago, taking it a lot more seriously. And then the biggest thing has been trying to make people understand what it is that we do, because conventionally our generation doesn't really understand the whole live band thing, right?
Yeah, because you wouldn't have thought Afrobeat instrumental quartet would be something that the kids would be banging at, like going and watching a quartet play.
And the thing with our band as well is there's no lead singer. So we're all playing the instruments, and the crowd is actually the people singing all of the songs. Like, so like that in itself took a whole new dimension that we didn't even expect, but it's working and we're here. Do you know what I mean? So
it definitely is working. I mean, you've worked with some incredible people: Notes, J Hus, Mabel, Afro B, Mr. Easy. By the way, I loved your live lounge with J Hus. That was really sick.
That was thank you, iconic one.
Yeah, that's
one of my favorite ones. I think it is a favorite one, actually.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, the vibes are obviously coming across.
We did two, right?
Yeah.
Buff Daddy is my.
Where we went into the whole reggae vibe and that.
It just brought a new element. I didn't like it. His side, it was
Funny thing. Huss is proper musical.
That was a joke at rehearsal.
Really?
Yeah.
It was just messing around.
We've been very silly when we shouldn't have been very silly.
But we do that a lot, though.
Yeah.
But then
and then out of nowhere, he's like, why don't you guys just do that?
I like that.
And we were just like, I'm being serious. Why don't you guys just do that? And we was like, oh. And I'll never forget this. His tour manager, he's from the Caribbean, he literally jumped up off his seat. He's like, what? He's having the time of his life. Shout out Nick, man, like Nick.
If you get the approval from Nick, then nothing else really matters.
Yeah, Nick says yes, it was calm. Yeah, so.
Is there any other artist in the game that you'd really like to work with that you haven't yet? Either personally or as the composers.
I think, personally within the UK.
Does it have to be UK?
No, it can be anywhere, actually.
I'm branching in the UK right now. I'll say the one person we haven't worked with yet is Stormzy.
I think he's about to drop something. Does anyone else think that?
He definitely is.
But like, I mean, like imminently.
Yeah.
You know, in the next month.
Yeah, no, he's actually said it.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Because I've been.
He did. I was driving the other day. He did an interview with Rob Bruce. He more or less gave it away. He's like,
I knew before he said it. Okay. All right. Literally. So when you are, because obviously as an instrumental quartet, as you say, there's no lead singer. You're not in the backstage being like, or maybe you are. But what does a quartet do to warm up before they go on stage?
Ooh, get psyched.
Drink.
Yeah, some people drink.
Alcohol.
I think ultimately, whatever it is that people are doing, the thing is just catching a vibe.
When you listen, you were like, ultimately, stop talking about
that. I try to.
He actually flexes.
I play drums.
He does these drums.
I would stuff. To be honest, I don't do it for that long though. Sometimes I just do it because I see a camera in my face. So let me.
I clip my fingers.
Yeah, I'll just stretch and get my hands loose. But I do it, like I said, I do it for 2-3 minutes. So after 15 minutes on the stage, I was like, ugh, can we get off?
Yeah. When you're drumming, if you have a few drinks, what happens if you accidentally throw your drumstick at someone?
Do you want the truth?
Yes.
Sometimes, yeah. I actually play a bit better when I'm a little bit,
because the confidence is there.
It's that confidence, that's what it is.
But
confidence.
It's what is the level? Because courage. I think for me, when I DJ, 2 drinks. Mm. If I have more than that before I play, it could be dangerous territory.
I think everyone's different with their drink.
Yeah.
I always say, I think I have a weird body. I think I'm made out of stone because nothing happens to me. Nothing.
I'm made of jelly. It's one drink and I'm gone.
It's all muscle memory for me now in terms of playing. So being able to play is the same as being able to speak for me, right? But I've looked back at certain performances and been at this moment,
I was drunk.
I was drunk because I could see how I'm wobbling on the stage, but I'm not playing anything crazy, but I could just tell that's not how I normally move, right?
Yeah,
I'm proper wave. But you bring a better vibe when you're in that kind of zone, because at the end of the day, it's us on stage and we're trying to command a vibe with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
You wanna be as free and as free and as excited on stage as you can be. So that's what I'm saying. Whatever you got to do to catch a vibe, if it's bust a couple jokes with a man them or whatever, or just relax a little bit. So when you go out there, because our shows are a party, so when you want to come out there, you want to come out with energy and you want to be able to be as free as possible.
What about what is on your rider? What is the drink of choice?
If Ciroc.
We'll be sorry.
Oh really? All right, PDD.
Bel-Air.
JD, not Bel-Air.
I like Bel-Air, bro.
We don't get on our
rider. It's never on the
rider. Ciroc, you need to talk to P. Diddy because he'll sponsor you, innit?
Yeah, I've been trying to text him.
Text him.
I'll give him a ring.
Bel-Air's nice, though. Bel-Air's nice.
What's Bel-Air?
We went to Tanzania.
That's Rick Ross's.
Okay, speak to Rick. Ricky Rosé. I'm sure he'll sort you out with a bit of rosé if you ask him. Okay, and what did you say?
And Nando's, actually.
Oh, yeah, Nando's.
Nando's. You're looking for that Nando's black card right now?
Yeah. Do you know what? I can't lie. I've been trying for 2 years, but. Yeah. They're not hearing me out. I tried the tweeting.
I gave us everything. £10 vouchers or something.
Yeah,
like that
man.
That was it.
Listen.
Do they still do it?
World is your oyster. Card. I don't know. But
I think it's died out now, isn't it?
Well, the world is your oyster. You never know. Yeah, but anyone I know that has it hates Nando's now. Because you have it so much. And then you're like... And then every time I'm with them, I'm like, let's get Nando's. And they're like, no, I hate Nando's. And I'm like, well, give me the card. At least then it goes to good use.
Yeah.
So where can people go and buy tickets? It's www.composers.co.uk. UK,
that's right.
Yeah.
And it's happening on the 16th of November.
16th
of
December.
Oh, December. Yeah. God, of course it's not the 16th.
It's happening in the past, guys.
It's happening Back to the Future, featuring the composers. It's happening December 16th. Christmas vibe, but not a Christmas theme. Everyone in that happy vibe. Loads of special guests.
Loads.
And already released special guests that are sick. So if you're not satisfied by that, which I would be shook by, then there's still going to be more people coming on. Do you announce anyone just before, or is it all live on stage? You bring them out.
Sometimes
it's a bit of both. Yeah, it's a bit of both.
Okay, and we didn't touch on the fact that you were just on Alan Carr's Christmas show.
Yeah.
Can you tell us anything about what you were doing?
Well, we were the house band for the show.
I guess you're not allowed to tell us what went down.
No, not just yet. Just tune in to Channel 4
on Christmas Day.
How cute. You're going to be on telly on Christmas Day.
10 p.m. Yeah. Channel 4.
Yeah. Do you not feel like, because that for me is one of my all-time dreams of Christmas Day viewing.
If I'm honest with you, it's only conversations like this and the response from people that have seen that we've done it, that's really making it sink in, because it's something that's so surreal and has always seemed so far away that now that we've done it, it's like... it's actually a really big deal. We was really involved in that.
I can't wait to speak to you after Brixton. You're actually going to be it was a really big deal doing Brixton Academy.
Our manager, I think he snapped it today. Say something more time, we don't even take in the moment.
And
that's he literally just said we did a tour in March He said he just took it in just now. Like, so literally, that's how it is sometimes. We
it's
need
just
to just
one
kind of
thing,
like, embrace
one
the moment.
Thing to the other, isn't it?
I agree. Yeah,
like, in this industry as well, because you're, boom, you know, boom, you're creative, you don't work, because
you've got to take it while it's there.
Yeah,
as well.
Like literally, you just have, and you just have to kind of, I mean, you would know, you have to always find some way to stay relevant.
Yeah.
Mm. And, you know, the bigger you get, the wider your span becomes, so you kind of got to stay relevant in other. We have to stay relevant in other parts of the world now. So you know, if we don't, like you were saying, if we don't head out and do a tour in the US, how do the US people? Do you know what I mean? But then
you need to connect physically
exactly.
with people, yeah.
And then
yeah,
you realize, wait a minute, we just toured the US. Not a lot of people in this country do that.
Not a lot
of
people have done any of the things that you guys have done. Especially as an Afrobeat instrumental quartet. That is something no one else
like
is doing.
I really like that way you put it.
Quartet.
So really nice.
Like
it makes you sound VIP. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's better than boy band in my opinion. I prefer this.
Listen, you're still a boy band in my eyes. You'll always be a boy band in my eyes.
Yeah, no, I mean...
I want to be in a boy band, for God's sake.
Yeah? All right, cool. We'll sort out the beard for you afterwards. And then,
safe.
And then get you in.
Safe. Guys, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having
thank
us.
You.
Good luck on December the 16th. I can't wait to see what happens. Who exciting people. I mean,
crazy.
More exciting stuff coming out. Everyone needs to follow you on social media, at Composers.
Yeah. At correct. Composers, yeah. On Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, everywhere. Composers. Make sure you hit us up, follow us. Follow the movement, follow everything that we've got coming up. We've got some more original music coming out real soon as well, so watch out for that. And you're gonna be able to see us doing some crazy things in the next couple months and years. You get me? So be a part of the journey.
Yes. Well, let's on that note, let's play Born You Well.
Ooh.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thank
and we,
you.
We will
thank
catch you
so
on the
much.
16th of December.
Yes.
Special, yeah. Don't have to tell you. Everybody wants your body. You never fail. No. When you walk by the compound, everybody show face. So many hearts you break. Everybody wanna taste. Nah, 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 nah. Better woman know this. Your mama born you well. Your papa born you well. Your mama born you well. I got a couple things I do. Wanna fly around the world with you. Wanna bump it, keep with you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Couple things I wanna do. Wanna fly around the world with you. Wanna bump it, keep with you. Now you a day on my mind, but you don't wanna take me seriously. Fine, so fine. Mama, you define like wine. Just give me 6 seconds like vine. I know that you gon' take me seriously. Whoa, forget all the gist now. I gon' never bring you no trouble. Just give me chance now. I go be the beast to your daughter. Not only you with the shine, but still keep it humble. Your papa born you well. Your mama born you well. Your papa born you well. Your mama born you well. I got a couple things I wanna do. Wanna fly around the world with you. Wanna bump it, keep with you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Where your papa born you where? Your mama born you where? Your papa born you where? Your mama born you where? I got a couple things I wanna do. Wanna fly around the world with you. Wanna bone picking.
That's the composers there. What a lovely bunch of babes. George is in the building. Hello, darling.
Hi there.
Oh, darling. I sound like darling. Lizzie Cundy.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah.
Darling.
Haven't
hello, darling.
Darling in a long time.
I try to kind of infiltrate some absolutely fabulous into my day-to-day life.
Oh, good.
And that's where the darling.
Who are you? Are you... Is it Davina? No, what's
it is
Edina. Edina.
Edina is who I am. I'm the short, stubby one. And
okay,
then
and I'm Eddie.
Yeah, you're Eddie. Because you, if you do you smoke, get some fags out.
I actually am 6 months clean of smoking.
Good girl. Well, you can just get a vape
sobriety.
Out or something.
No, I don't even do vape anymore. No, I'm
how
full,
has that affected your voice?
Yes, I mean, it's helped my voice, yeah, for sure, yeah. Although a lot of singers have always smoked.
Lady Gaga, Adele, loads of them.
Well, I was even watching a clip of Joni Mitchell and she's puffing away on a fag.
And that was half her vibe though, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, maybe it was. I felt like, you know, the cigarettes were my vibe at one point. You know, you'd always catch me with a cigarette in my finger, you know, but now, no, I'm totally clean. I'm a yogi.
Oh, okay.
No, that's what it feels like. You know, I don't do anything now. Like, you know.
You're just like, what's
I've cut meat out. I'm
have
plant-based.
You?
I'm
currently drinking juices.
Currently on my fourth day of a juice fast. Yeah.
Are you seeing two of me? Are you okay?
I'm all right. I'm operating on a higher plane of consciousness. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of, if I do see two of you, I'll probably be on the floor, so there's nothing I can probably.
Is this the last day?
No, I've still got one more day.
Sugar me timbers. Yeah. That is a lot.
That's what we do. Yeah. That's what us performers do.
Whoa.
It's the life we've chosen.
Yeah, you're committed and you're living it, which I am impressed by.
Yeah.
Not something I've done. I was just saying to myself, oh, you're not going to drink now. And for a bit.
Right.
Not forever, for a bit. And then cool. It's been about 12 hours and I'm ready for a drink. So
they're coming in now with your JD and
yeah.
Coke, aren't they?
Oh, gosh. Triple JD and Coke.
Triple JD.
Started Out is your brand new song.
Yeah.
A total banger, but also what a wonderful video. Fills me with such happiness and joy.
Thank you. It's interesting, that video.
Yeah, for anyone who hasn't seen it, it involves a lot of individuals having their moment, their dancing moment.
Yeah.
And I feel, because I dance alone a lot.
Cool.
On my own, in my house.
Great. Yeah, don't we all?
Which is weird, but also really liberating.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of that.
Oh, great. Yeah, I think that was the sort of, that was the kind of feeling behind it, that we just wanted to create this emotion and this, you know, what we all feel when we're dancing on our own. And you know, it doesn't matter where you're from, what background, what age, you know, we all have those moments where we just want to lose ourselves, you know, within a song or within a, I don't know, just a moment, don't we? We all need moments of euphoric action.
Do you have a song of your own that gives you that euphoric reaction?
Of my own, that I've written?
Well, yeah, or another person's written it, like...
Oh, gosh, yeah,
or
loads.
Something that inspires you. The first one that comes to your head, and it doesn't... We're not judging this to be... The only one, because obviously I'm putting you on the spot here, but like as I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, The Knife, Silent Shout.
I've not actually heard that.
Oh, whoa.
That's the
dang.
Yeah. Oh right. Okay.
Oh no. I'm getting out of here.
I'm going out of here straight away to listen to it.
That you put that song on loud, and you cannot help but just be in that moment. It's like, you know, it's almost like it's like Robin dancing on your own.
That's probably
but,
my one.
But this is like darker. It's kind of like, oh, it's kind of sexy, and it's minimal, and it's almost like techno, it's just amazing. And definitely that is one of those songs that I have that moment too.
I'm going to go and have one of those moments after this. I would say anything by Robin for me gives me a feeling of empowerment. It's because it's songs.
Monument is a great one.
All of her songs as well from like the noughties when she was first coming out, and she's not at all what she was.
Yeah.
Is now, because she was really super poppy. Like she was like Samantha Mumba vibes when she first started out. Very into that early Robin as well.
Well, if you like Robin, you'll definitely like The Knife, because they're Swedish as well, but they're a little bit more on the alternative,
bit edgier
definitely. And Silent Shout is probably one of the most, I mean, people would say it's, you know, a really
seminal
record within alternative music, electronic music. And
I'm excited to experience it.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
Thank you for bringing it into my life.
Pleasure.
Back to you now, because that's what I want to talk about. I want to hear about everything that's going on with you. Great. Obviously, this track takes us back a bit 80s and 90s. There's a lot of sort of like drum machines, analog synths, and which I love. But you're making it, obviously it's very 2018, it's very now, but very not now at the same time, just to confuse us. What inspired specifically this kind of sound for you?
Well, I have a sort of history of dance music. My dad was part of a electronic duo called Left Field, and
yes, I know.
So my
that is an iconic duo.
Yeah. So my kind of growing up was listening to techno music, house music, and you know, all types of electronic music, even going back to sort of Kraftwerk and bands like that. And I wanted to draw upon that really, and all the music that you know that I'd grown up with, and I just love Detroit techno, and I love Chicago house. I love the whole cultural movement. I love the kind of the history you can draw upon hip hop going back to Detroit techno. I just love all those lines that you can kind of draw between countries and the way music travels. And I guess I just felt like that obviously just inspired me to kind of do a song in that sort of genre, really.
And how, I guess, in that sense, how did it feel then putting it out? Because you have that monumental thing on your shoulders of the fact that your dad was in this, you know, he was in this. And now you're doing it, and now you're releasing something that's kind of a homage to...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't too much of a homage to him, but
not
yeah,
to him, but
yeah,
as into that whole scene that he was.
Yeah,
like,
no, totally. I think because it wasn't, I mean, essentially it is a pop song, I guess. But, you know, that Left Field and Chemical Brothers, all that type of music was far more orientated on like the dance floor and, you know, not, you know, instrumental almost. They did have vocals, obviously. But I guess for this one, I you know, I can't stray away from my love of pop music, so I just amalgamated the two, and you know, for me, it's, I think that's why it sounds a little bit different from that sort of area of music.
Well, maybe. It kind of touches on you're basically genreless, because it's just touching on so many different, which is great.
Yeah, I've had that quite a bit actually.
But I like that, because for me, I don't really follow, I'm not like, I wouldn't ever say I don't like that kind of music, because it's just, there's no way you can really decide that now, I think.
It's hard with me as well, because I sort of just love music, really. So it's, and it doesn't matter what genre it is. If there's something beautiful about it, I think I'll just sort of love it. And that just totally kind of goes into my songwriting, really. So,
and what's your songwriting process? How do you get to where you need to be to create a song like this, like started out?
Get a load of people in the studio, have a party.
Banging rave.
Get the lads in.
Sometimes, I guess.
Sometimes, yeah. With this song, I was very... Well, I'll talk about it in the context of Started Out. I you know, I start with chords, and then I start with the idea of sound, like, and how textures are going to form the song, and how that's going to inform my songwriting. And we started out with just those four chords, and I think from there it was just became very obvious of what to do. The song, the demo of this song is completely different. It's a lot slower. So I wrote it as a kind of almost like a slow ballad almost. Yeah. And then I got, and then, you know, sent that away and people loved it. And then when I got into the mixing kind of period with Mark Ralph, he was like, let's speed it up. You know, let's, you know, I said to him, you know, the 909s and all of this. So we set all that up in a MIDI sort of fashion and did it all live. And wow. it became this, you know, it became the song it is now. And it was the whole process was really amazing.
And so you feel like cathartically afterwards, you know, having it had it start as a slow sort of ballady type song, is it kind of like, yeah, that it's changed into something totally different?
Yeah, I mean, when I say ballad, it's not like a Luther Vandross or something. Yeah. Like it was sort of like it had a sort of similar air of maybe kind of James Blake, or I don't know. It was minimal. Yeah, it was kind of but I always had, I always had the drum machine in the back of my mind, and these chords were so euphoric, and yeah, my writing process is very, it would take a whole sort of 2 hours to describe the whole writing process.
Let's do it. but that's kind of cool, because it feels like you're just so in the music that there's no real thought that goes. It's just a process now.
It's a process because I'm. It's all about the production as I'm doing it, because I'm doing it myself, and you know, I understand sort of technology. So you know, that's a blessing and also a curse in itself, because I can get wound up on sort of one sound, you know, and it's like, for God's, you know, move on, and you know, but. For this song, it really was quite easy actually to determine, you know, how it should all come together.
Which is nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
And it's nice for us here because it's a banger. So I'm glad it came not too...
It's so unexpected that, you know, I really thought no one was really going to hear this song.
But it's like, you know, everyone, you know, it seems like the response has been incredible.
It's been incredible. It's probably, you know, reached a far bigger audience than any of my other songs have ever done. So...
But it's all on an upward trajectory, isn't it? Like, bit by bit, like, just taking that time and that energy to create beautiful music that means something to you, and then it meaning something to someone else is...
It's always been about the music for me. I guess it's just about... And I think that's why I'm so happy with my label and so happy with my team, that I've been allowed to just really kind of develop. I'm still developing, there's no doubt about it. And that's what, you know, that's how it should be. But with this album, I've just really been able to kind of home in on a sound, you know, and that was really important to me.
And alongside this, all of this excitement, you're off on tour with Jungle in February.
Yeah, I know.
So exciting.
Yeah, that was exciting.
How did that all come about?
Oh, if I told you that, you know.
Have to kill you.
Well, you know, managers talk and, labels talk, and then it all comes together. And I know a couple of the lads. Yes, I do. And I'm a big, you know, huge fan. And
nice boys, aren't they?
Yeah, lovely. And the whole band, everyone, their touring party, everyone's just really super excited. And, you know, I think that it's going to be, I mean, the Ali Pally show is going to be an absolutely incredible night of music.
I mean, it's a huge, also like your biggest show to date.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Which is such an exciting thing to say you're going to go into the new year with this.
I know. God. Kind of like dreading it in a way.
No,
I'm not dreading it. I'm just sort of, you know, when you do it yourself, you know, I don't have a band or anything, you know,
it's a scary place.
Well, it's just all in your head at the moment, and then I'm in rehearsals at the moment and trying to figure it all out and blah blah blah. But yeah, it'll be, do you know what, I'm just happy to be part of that bill, really. And it's great that Little Sims is involved as well. I've always been such an admirer, and
she's gonna release the best album of all time, I think.
I
have a lot of time for Lil Sims.
We were meant to be out in South Africa. Well, I was out in South Africa this year doing a project, part of the Africa Express, and Lil Sims was meant to come out, but she couldn't make it. I was really gutted because I thought, you know, that would have been a good opportunity to have tried to have done something together.
Yeah, but
something.
Now you've got a second opportunity, so the universe is obviously pushing you both together.
Yeah, it was going to be a great night of music, you know, and Jungle's new album is just, you know, it's just fantastic, I think. It's another great body of work.
Which is so exciting as well, because I feel like it's really hard to come up with a second album.
Mm.
When you know, like Alt J, it was like when Alt J first came out and everyone was like, whoa, that was so good. How are you going to... It was the same with Jungle. It was like, fuck, that was so good. How are you going to do it again?
Yeah, I think it's because it's almost, again, blessing and curses, isn't it? Of like your first album really, you know, so much success, and then following that up is... There's a lot of pressure on your backs as songwriters, and you know. But I think hats off to them; they've done
definitely
fantastic
definitely.
Job.
I really like what you're saying, because like you're on your own. Because I'm a DJ, but not like you know, I don't produce or anything. I just and sometimes I think if it's a really scary gig, like it's a big deal or whatever, I'm there on my own. I'm like, if you fuck up, it's only you.
I think DJing is probably one of the hardest forms of performing at the forms or whatever.
No,
that
I think what
is.
You do is much harder. I was going to say, like, if I feel like that about just spinning some tracks and you're actually like creating on stage, you know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't know. I mean, performing, I just always thought like gauging an audience, like what you guys do, gauging a crowd in a room, and it's all about the, you know, the vibe of the play, you know. Oh no, I'm playing this tune, oh no, the crowd ain't feeling it, quick, change it. And that that kind of skill to do that, I think it's a real skill to do that.
It's a lot of fun, I think. But that's the thing, is everyone fit, because like I couldn't do what you do at all.
Well, we should swap places.
Do it like
I tell you
Freaky
what,
Friday.
You could perform Ali Pally. Couldn't you?
Do you know what? Should I do that?
You could do that.
And you can just come and do some of my DJ sets.
Be more than happy to.
Sick.
Well, actually, yeah, let me think about that, because that is quite nervous. Either way, nervous. Yeah, well, let's try and do it.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday.
We've established that my name is inside your name as well.
Mm. Which is my full name is Georgia Rose Harriet.
But it's like
Barnes.
We were meant to do Freaky Friday, because I'm already...
Oh, my God.
Inside your name.
This... Yeah.
I know, that's quite freaky.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you never know.
You never. You
keep,
never, never,
keep
never.
Keep listening. Keep watching.
Maybe we'll do a
watch
collab.
Your space.
Maybe we will, guys. Just calm down. We'll let you know. So tell me about the album. What's the sort of, what's going on with it? What can you tell us?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know, really. The album is similar to Started Out in a way that it kind of draws upon the kind of Detroit techno and Chicago house sounds and textures, but it's, you know, it's my love. Basically, I went away and into my studio and I listened to early 80s pop music.
Sick.
And particularly bands out of this country who did really well overseas but weren't really that well received. Well, they were well received here, bands like Depeche Mode, but they went over to America and just started up a cultural sort of movement. And I was really interested in all of that. I was interested in when, you know, electronic music infiltrated pop music. So I tried to create an album that was a kind of like a bit of like that type of influence of sounds and writing. But then at the same time, it's kind of a bit, again, you know, a lot of genres in there, and I don't shy away from the kind of hip hop background as well. So it's, but I feel like it's a real journey through, through my sort of world, and it's not long. So that's quite, because albums aren't long anymore, are they? Really?
No.
Well, they can be long, but.
Yeah, like
apparently albums don't really exist anymore or something. That's what they tell us, don't they?
Yeah, because it's like just a giant EP now. Basically, because everyone doesn't like saying I've released an album, because I think there's that thing of saying, especially first album, it's like, oh no, it wasn't actually an album. It's not. No, you can't count that one. It's like, well, it's got this amount of songs it's meant to have. So
yeah, I mean,
can't be a 10-track EP, can
exactly.
it?
Exactly. For me, the album, you know, the.
It's
streaming,
just
regardless or whatever. I still very much believe in the album.
Yeah, and I think it's an exciting thing for you to kind of get to,
exactly.
if it's that kind of journey, and it's like, well, I want to. I think it's a fear based thing slash a you know, if you just want to get a piece of music out and you don't want it to be an album, then don't call it an album. That's basically where it comes from.
Exactly. No, I think yeah. No, it was very important for me to you know, because I look to artists like Kate Bush and you know, it's so amazing now to look back at her body of work and see a sort of progression.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important in art, to see a bit of a weird period, and then it sort of goes, you know, it's like that sort of interesting in 20 years time that somebody could look back and see that whole body of work.
Yeah, it's like actors who look back at films and they're like, that is the worst film I've ever been in. But like, you've got to have one that's the worst.
Of course, you've got to have a moment where it all goes a bit.
Where you did it for the money.
Yeah, where you did it for the money, exactly.
Where you just got loads of money to do the eighth sequel of a really bad film.
Yeah.
I would do it. Do it for the money, honey.
Exactly, there you go.
Georgia, thank you so much for stopping by. It's been lovely
to
chat. I'm excited to be on the journey with you for the album.
Thank you for all the support and stuff.
Are we going to see it before the tour?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few shows coming up, TBC.
Yeah. Because obviously you're going to be in, by the way, everyone, Norwich, Manchester, Leeds, Dublin, Belfast and London with Jungle.
Yeah.
Which is all across February from the 13th to the 21st.
Yeah, so there might be some shows in January we're going
to... Like to warm us up
to warm up. So please, yeah, come down. I'll announce it all on my social media and
Facebook.
Which is
_GeorgiaUK.
Yeah, yeah. And then on Instagram, it's just GeorgiaUK.
Sick. Well, thank you so much. We're going to play Started Out now. Can you introduce it for me?
Hello, everyone out there. This is a track of mine called Started Out. Enjoy it. Turn it up.
when we started. Back when we started, I never believed it. Believed it.
Hi, I'm Mabel, and you're listening to Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Dark things in my mind again. I don't wanna have a bad night again. I might lose my mind again. I might lose my mind again.
Dark things in my mind again. I don't wanna have a bad night again. I might lose my mind again. I might lose my mind again.
Don't relapse. Wait. Hold up, don't relax. Yeah. Heart attack, ice inside my cardiac. I'm a sicko, I'm a fucking hypochondriac. Fuck the pain away, beat it like an 808. And I know I said I quit drugs last time. That was last time, life in the fast lane. Hydroplaning off a flat, my flatline. If I let the brains blow, that's a landmine. I need you to love me like I never loved me. Everyone around me wants something from me. Pretty girls want the truth, but the truth is ugly. She don't even like me, she just wanna fuck me. Feel like gave me wine again. This is absinthe, not Heineken. 25 running out of time again. 27 club, how can I get in?
Dark things in my mind again. I don't wanna have a bad night again. I might lose my mind again. I might lose my mind again.
Dark things in my mind. I see all these demons in my nightmares. I can run, but I can't escape the night terrors every night, yeah. Lost in despair, but you don't even care. And I'm not scared. Am I scaring you? Where I'm driving, like I'm done.
Tweaking, bro. Is everything good at home? What are you talking about? I know what you need, bro. You need you a decent little situation with the slug. Oh, God.
Dark Things, Vic Mensa. That's from his upcoming EP, Hooligans, which comes out December 14th. I really love that song. Very dark, eerie kind of track about addiction, death. And I really think it touches on some things that are quite important at the moment as well. Singers being honest about kind of that stuff. I don't know if you heard it, the lyric where he talks about being in the 27 Club, obviously, which is the age that a lot of actors and famous people have died from drugs and other reasons. But it's just quite... I just think the production's really sick. His new project's going to feature collabs with Ty Dolla $ign, Lil Herb, Charlie Wilson, G-Eazy, and Jesse Rutherford from Neighbourhood. Really excited for things to come with that guy. But we're going to move on now and talk about our this week's champion. Peruvian-born singer-songwriter A-Chal. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, by the way. A-Chal is this week's champion of the week. He's a producer. He's worked with French Montana, A$AP Rocky, A$AP Nas, 2 Chainz. A$AP Nas, he did a song this year called Cuanto. So go and check that out if you fancy it, because I'm not playing it today. I'm playing two other tracks. First one I'm going to play is La Duena featuring Daryl, which is the track I found him from. I heard it and I was like, this is incredible. It wasn't released that long ago. He was born in Peru. I lived there till he was four and then moved to New York. And his mother was from rural northern Peru while his father was from one of the largest cities in Peru. And he began rapping at 12. In 2010, he moved to Los Angeles to pursue a career as a songwriter and a producer. And in March of this year, he signed to Epic Records, part of Sony, who've also got like people like Travis Scott, but actually a huge repertoire of artists. La Duena video shot in Guadalajara in Mexico and has, as I said, Latin reggaeton artist Daryl on it, premiered on Flaunt magazine. You can go and check out the full article on there. He said that there's an ancient magic and mystery in Peru that is helping me create my own lane, and that of La Duena, it's a song that serves as an ode to all the strong, beautiful alpha women out there. Let's have a little listen to that and then I'll come back and have a chat to you about Dejalo, which is his latest release as part of his EP that's dropping very soon. So this is La Duena.
Oh. Pase. Mami, ¿qué estás haciendo? Deja todo eso a un lado. Tírate una foto que te quiero ver. A ella no le importa que tenga el trabajo. No tiene jefe, ella le gusta obedecer. Y se pone a jugar como gata fiera. Conmigo es especial, yo no soy cualquiera. Ella me saca a pasear toda la noche entera. Porque soy un perro, pero ella la dueña, la dueña, la dueña. Lo que yo no sé, ella me lo enseña. La dueña, la dueña. La que no se vende tampoco se empeña. La que me sabe joder, tiene ese poder. Ella se pone a bailar y yo le pienso tocar. Y lo debo hacer.
Vamos a hacer la historia como Robin Hood. Lo única que quiero, bebé, ser es tú. Cada vez que fumamos ya estamos en el mood. Volvemos y la hacemos escuchando mi tema en YouTube. Dale tres patas encima y apaga la luz. Que yo soy tu perro y mi dueña eres tú. Tú siempre te apareces como un déjà vu. Te voy a obedecer como a Cristela. Roberto Cavalli, camino pa' Cali. Explotando los chavos que hacemos los parties en PR. Mercedes, Miami, Ferrari. Ella siempre me cuida, soy su guardería. Y lo de nosotros siempre estamos claros. Y no tenemos tiempo para los comentarios. Y ya las malas vibras no son necesarias. Si tú eres lo más
importante, ella se pone a jugar como hasta fiera. Conmigo es especial, yo no soy cualquiera. Ella me saca a pasear toda la noche entera. Porque soy su perro, pero ella es la dueña. La dueña, la dueña. Lo que yo no sé, ella me lo enseña. La dueña, la dueña. Lo que no se vende y tampoco se empeña.
La que me sabe joder, tiene ese poder. Se pone a bailar y yo le pienso tocar. Lo debo hacer.
Ooh, up in the club. I hit the gas, she hit the gas. Open the top. You got a lot of things still on your mind. Yo te relajo. Bro, we got nothing but time. Maybe the espacio.
Mommy, you should be loud and not be afraid. Either way, they're gonna find out that it's me. Caught up cause they do not understand. Tell them I'm a young boss and I got a plan. Y se pone a jugar como gata fiera. Conmigo es especial, yo no soy cualquiera. Ella me saca a pasear toda la noche entera. Porque soy un perro, pero ella la dueña. La dueña, la dueña. Lo que yo no sé, ella me lo enseña. La dueña, la dueña.
This week's champion, A-Chal, otherwise known as Alejandro Salazar. I hope you appreciate how good my Spanish accent is. So that's coming from, he's already dropped that, the videos out there now. You can go and check it out. It's very beautiful, very well shot, lots of neon, very enjoyable. His influences range from like Bob Marley, Jimi Hendrix, Prince, Willie Colon, Hector, Laveau. But he's basically a very well-rounded artist, and he's young, and he's just sort of tipping on the edge of becoming massive, I think, in the US. He's moved to LA in his sort of like early 20s to pursue music properly. This EP that's dropping is Exoticaz, which has got 6 tracks, and he said of it that it's going to be kind of showing a side to him that he hasn't shown his fans before, and he's got a lot of music that he's been holding back and kind of keeping to excite us for this EP, but also that it is just literally a taster for the album that is on its way. So really excited for that. It's out tomorrow. You can go and check it out. And I'm going to finish. So Dejalo is the first track he's dropped from the EP that you can watch the video for that now as well. It's out. Make sure you go and check out HL. He is A.Chal on Instagram, and I think he's Alejandro on Twitter. So go check him out. This is Dejalo. This week's You Are the Champion. This is Dejalo.
Hey, Phil, put some sounds on me.
Dejalo, they don't last in this shit. Back then, I would laugh at this shit. Make it thump, now I dance with you. Dejalo, they don't last in the shit. Back then, they would laugh at the shit. They get thumped, now I dance with your bitch. Wax on, I advanced everything. Dejalo, let it go. Soul is sold to the hills and on the cold. Colombianas big and buff and roll. They ready to go for a little dough. My uncle's selling beats. Dejalo, they don't last in the shit. Back then, I would laugh at the shit. They get thrown, now I dance with your bitch. Back song, I advanced everything. Dejalo, they don't last in the shit. Back then, they would laugh at the shit. They get thrown, now I dance with your bitch. Back song, I advanced.
Tú sabes, tú tienes que soltar tu saben en banda. Los tigres siempre están tirando sal. Esa vaina no va para ningún lado, loco. Deja esa vaina, déjalo todo. Halo tú y tú sabes que you gotta keep the gas, bro. Cógelo suave.
Tengo otra chica en mi casa desnuda, actrices de cinema. Dicen soy cínico, no soy el típico. Estamos soplando perico, dejando un reguero en todo el piso. Manchando alfombras persianas, antes no teníamos nada. Dejalo, they don't last in the shit. Back then, I would laugh at the shit. They get thump, now I dance with your bitch. Back song, I advanced everything. Dejalo, they don't last in the shit. Back then, they would laugh at the shit. They get thump, now I dance with your bitch. Back song, I advanced everything.
Emily Burns. Yeah, put them on, babe. That sounds weird. She's putting headphones on, just to be clear. Emily Burns is here.
Hey.
I've been trying to get you in this studio. I mean, when I say me, I mean my lovely, wonderful producers. But how are you?
I'm so good. I'm so excited to be here. Finally.
Thanks, babe. I've been a very big fan of you for a while now. We came to see you at the Tovestuka.
Yeah, Hannah was just saying, yeah.
It was so good.
Thank you.
And a hard, because it was at Heaven.
Yeah.
On a Friday, which is a very different, because there's very different vibes at each of the nights at Heaven. So if you're playing a Saturday, it is going to be 2 a.m. Yeah. Whereas it's like a proper gig on a Friday night, you know, yeah. at a normal human time. And I think it's always hard, isn't it, to kind of gauge the crowd. But it was such a good crowd, wasn't it?
Such a good crowd. Actually, for her whole tour, the crowd were just like the perfect audience.
But the music is linked. Like, it's just really, really well written pop music. Both of you.
Oh, and I think.
Yeah, just her. And then you're also there.
Yeah. No, when I say she's my favourite pop artist, I genuinely mean that. So for me to perform with her was just mental. It was like, yeah, and playing at Heaven as well. Just crazy. Such good fun.
She's got work ethic as well, right? She's like, yeah.
Crazy.
It's really cool, though, that you got to do that. And also to, because everybody's getting very excited about you as well, in terms of like, because it's a kind of weird thing, because obviously the EP came out in July.
Yeah.
And then Test Drive was the first track that I heard of yours.
Okay.
Which is weird because it's not your first track, but it was the first one that came up on one of my playlists that I follow. And I was like, fuck, this is so good.
Thanks.
Because it's got that thing where you want to sing it like, there's few tracks in pop music where you want to go over and over and over again. Mm. And it's one of those because it's got a really, really, really addictive hook.
Thanks.
And it's like, I just really like it. I really like it.
Thanks, babe.
But it was like, then I was able to go back and kind of like learn more about you from that track. And it kind of opened my eyes to everything else. Because obviously Damn Good Liar has just dropped as well.
Yes, came out last week.
Which is, there's just so much. Now
no, they're all quite, I've realised, right, I need to write a nice song.
What, you mean it's not about a bitch?
Yeah, it's not a bitch or cheat or a liar. Like that, if you look at the song titles, you would think I've been through the wars.
Like, yeah, but it's funny because none of them feel like that. Like even though this song is about someone who has really hurt your feelings, it doesn't make you walk away going, oh God, Emily. It's more like, oh, Emily. Anyway, that was a sick tune. Like, it's like, I feel your emotions, but I'm so into the track that it kind of, you don't have, if you don't want to feel sad, you don't have to.
Okay, that's good.
Does
that's
that make
good
sense?
Feedback. Thank you. I'm glad.
You're welcome. Let me go further into my feedback. No. you work with Mad Fern on this one. Is that right? Yeah. They're a Swedish songwriting duo.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And how was that experience going to Sweden? Because you wrote it in Sweden, didn't you?
I wrote it in Sweden. It's my first time ever writing outside of London.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I went to Stockholm and it was my
Which
first
is like
day
songwriting capital, basically.
Yeah, like pop
yeah.
in Sweden is just amazing. So I was super excited. Mm-hmm. I met these two girls and I just knew instantly that we were going to get on so well. And yeah, I was just telling them about this kind of recent situation where I've been a bit let down and I was led to believe some things that definitely weren't true. And I sort of walked away and I was like, wow, she lied to me. Like, she's such a good liar because I fully believed everything that she was telling me.
Yeah.
So.
Which is hard. I'm smiling, but it's because we're both smiling, by the way. It's not just me laughing at you. Like, but I think that's a situation that so many people go through where it's like you cross signals the wrong, like that person is giving suggestions that they know they shouldn't be, but they are anyway.
Yeah.
I think especially in the gay community as well, it's something that happens a lot.
Yeah. I would say so. I think, yeah, she definitely was just in a very different headspace to what I was in.
Or was she? And or did she not? You know, like it's, you know, you can never tell. Women are fucking mental, you know?
Women are
nuts.
Fucking crazy.
We're nuts. But at least you're getting some good quality songs out of them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's the most important thing. Heartbreak.
Yeah, I just need more now.
Yes.
I need,
so what's going to happen when you start being really happy?
I know. This is a genuine problem. But I think this is why I'm single.
Because you need to be. Actually, your whole management team are like, do not let her meet
like,
anyone.
Emily, do not get a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because this will be the end of your music career.
You'll be a soppy bitch and we won't be able to sell it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, but the songs aren't like melancholy. They are bangers made from sad times.
I love that.
You can have that.
I will take that. Thanks.
Seven Scenes from the Same Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Talk me through sort of how you felt since that release.
So I put that out, in July.
Yeah.
And it has been just absolutely crazy since then.
Like, people are still talking, because people still go back to all the songs from that On your, I see on your Twitter, on your Instagram, like people screenshotting and saying like they're listening to it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously it was only like 6 months ago, but it feels like the summer was 2 years ago. But it was only a short time ago. But now you've dropped another track. How do you feel? Do you feel different in any way, or is it still kind of the?
I do feel like now things are, well, I hope, about to move on to
the next stage,
the next level. Yeah. Like, but yeah, with the EP, it's been so crazy. Like, you know, at the end of the year, you get that Spotify update of who your top artists are. And so today,
yeah,
like, just had so many nice messages from people just saying that, like, Seven Scenes from the Same Summer was one of their most listened to albums of the
year. Is that the weirdest thing?
Honestly, bizarre.
Because it's like, only been out for six months as well. Yeah, you think about it, it's 7 months.
Actually, yeah, yeah.
So that's half a year, and you're more listened to than albums they've listened to that have been out for a full maybe 10 years or a year.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, see, blowing your mind with that information.
Yeah, mind blown.
That's deep, though. But it's very music that you'd connect to, I think. Anyone can listen to Test Drive and be gay, straight, you know, whatever orientation you are, and link to it. You know,
I hope so. I always think when I'm writing, I'm like, although they are really personal experiences that I am actually going through, I would like to think that other people can relate and have been through those situations. I mean, I hope people don't go through those situations.
No, you kind of have to go through life. If you go through life not experiencing any kind of heartache, you never...
Yeah.
I don't know if you can fully experience love if you haven't experienced a bit of heartache.
I think definitely. But so even with Bitch, which was the first single, I felt like that was a very, very personal thing that I'd gone through with my first girlfriend. Her mum didn't like us being together, sort of thing. And then it turns out I got all these messages from people like, oh, this song, I've been through this exact situation. And I was like, what? Like, it's crazy how many people have actually experienced the same things.
Well, I've experienced at least three out of
really?
The songs.
I'm sorry.
No, but I it made me like more... a better person, I think.
Yeah.
More a better person.
Stronger.
Yes.
I'm gonna kill you, makes you stronger,
I
right?
am stronger than yesterday because of your songs. No, but like, I think also it's very important at the moment in terms of LGBT and talking about it and having it in the industry, experiences.
Yeah.
Like, people like King Princess and you and a lot of other queer artists who are openly talking about being queer and being in the LGBT community is so important for young gay LGBT people, because without it, I feel like people feel more open about it, and people feel more able to message you and talk about it and be like, I can openly say, like, when I was listening to Britney, you know, when I was like 14, I definitely don't think that it would have been the same thought process about, you know, speaking about music. Now, there weren't any out gay women that I can think of that I used to listen to.
Yeah, it's true.
When I was younger.
Yeah.
And so I think do you feel that burden of of being a spokesperson?
I wouldn't say it's a burden. I think it's a really nice thing.
Yeah.
Like, I get some people after shows that reach out and they say, like, I wanted to come say hey, but I'm not out to my friends yet, and this sort of thing. And it's like, it's almost... I'm like a confidant in a way that, and it's like, it's actually a really nice thing to have people reach out and just express how they're feeling and what they're going through. And I love hearing from people and chatting to them and like hopefully making them feel a bit better in some way. But
you're a role model.
Does
that make
so.
You feel awkward when I say that?
Well, just no one's ever called me a role model before.
There you go. Role model. You are, because I think, as I say, like, if you are getting those kind of messages, it's for a reason. And I feel like some people could feel overwhelmed by it, in terms of, because I would be scared of, you know, you're so visible, and it's like, oh, everything I say has got to be right. But actually just being yourself is the right thing, you know, and doing what you're doing now, which is reaching out to these people who aren't out to their friends, who maybe after listening to your song will feel like they can.
Yeah. Which is amazing. I hope that that's the case.
And Test Drive specifically, I very much linked to, because it was interesting, because I think a lot of it's interesting experimenting. And this is the case with in all factors of like with men and women and people from different sexualities, that people do play with other people because they think, well, I'll give it a go.
Yeah, I'm going to try it out, see if it is what I like.
And you're playing with people. You're not playing with
cards. That's
it. Cards.
Exactly.
That's a weird analogy. You're not playing with cards right now.
But yeah, I get it. It's like sometimes I think people forget that there's an actual other person on the end of this that has emotions and has feelings. And like you can hurt that person if you don't tread carefully.
Yeah.
That's what Test Drive's about.
I just really resonated with the track, and I feel like a lot of people must have as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is lovely. Nice way to go to Christmas, you know? You can just have all those nice messages. And then you're off on tour next year.
I know.
Headline tour, March.
I know, I'm so excited.
Big time. Nottingham, Glasgow, Manchester, Leeds, Sheffield and Bristol.
Mm.
Tell me how you're feeling about it. What's your vibe? Are you going to change up your show in any way? Is there...
Yes. There will be, well, just be new songs.
Yeah.
There's a few new songs that, the singles that will be coming out next year, we'll be playing some of them. And I think that, without sounding, you know, well cocky,
be cocky, Emily. Like, come on, you're being so nice. You're just like, oh, yeah. Fucking tell them, babe.
I think they're the best songs that I've released yet. So I'm just super excited.
Well, I'm gassed because I've already been obsessed with all of your songs. So if they're going to be better, that's even greater to hear.
Yeah, I'm buzzing to put them out, and I'm buzzing to get on the road and actually just, like, I've never done my own headline tour before. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's just going to be a lot of fun.
How are you going to deal with the fact that you're the head? Like, does it change the mindset of how you go into the tour? Because obviously, going on tour with Tuva, it's like, oh, well, she's the headliner, so I'm just going to be finding new fans and meeting new people. Whereas
it's kind of
like,
easy ride when you're the support act, because you're just like, oh, well, if I'm shit, it's fine. Because, like, they're not here necessarily to see me. But it is a lot more pressure when you go on stage and you're like, wow, okay, these people...
They've paid to see you, definitely, 100%.
That's it. They've actually bought a ticket and turned up because they want to see you. And that's a mad thing.
Can people already start buying tickets now?
Tickets are on sale now,
are on sale. So have you been getting lots of screenshot pictures from people?
Yeah, it's my favourite thing, yeah. So some tickets have actually, like, physical tickets have already been dispatched.
Oh, sick. How weird... That must be quite weird, having your name on it. Well, obviously, you've had it already, but...
No, I know, but I wasn't expecting it. I don't know what I was expecting, but I didn't think there'd be actual
physical tickets. Because it's 2018 and we just assume
that
everything's
people,
like,
use their phone for...
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are paper tickets and people are sending me pictures of them with their paper tickets and I'm like, what? This is bizarre.
When it happens, because I know it's going to happen, what are you going to call, or have you already started to call your fan base something? The Burners, Bernie... Burn Town.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you have to, mate. You have to. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Oh, okay. Actually, here's one.
Yeah.
My friend, Tori,
she
suggested that we call the fan base the Family.
Oh, yeah. That.
I love that.
The Family.
Yeah. Part of the Family. Are you part of the Family? Yeah, I'm part of the Family.
Okay, that's just blown my mind, because also when you said it, I didn't realize I didn't link Emily, and then I was like, oh, Femme and Emily, oh my god,
yeah,
because I was just thinking of, like, Femme, that's like a Femme and a Family, but then I was like, Emily as well, oh my god. I know. I'm quite stupid though, so
I don't think you are. It was a hard one.
Oh, I don't know what it says about you, because I like you and I'm stupid, so listen, it's not, you know. That's definitely what you should go with, unless you want the Burners, because you can have that.
Yeah,
that's
can I
mine.
Take that one for free?
Burn Town is also yours for the taking if you want it. What are your plans for the rest of the year? Are you back in the studio?
Yes. I'm actually... So for the next 2 weeks, I'm in sessions and writing. And like today, had a session with the coolest guys. They're called Mojam.
Sick.
And another artist called Miller Blue.
We've had Miller Blue on the show.
Yeah, he actually mentioned, he said you guys were lovely.
He's a babe.
He is such a babe. So much fun and the most sick voice I've ever heard. Like, crazy good. So we wrote this song today that I genuinely believe is, like, one of the best songs I've ever written.
Oh my god, it's just going, it's really a mountain here. It's like going up and up and up. This is so good.
It does feel really exciting. Like, I'm just writing, I feel like some of the best material that I've got is coming out of this past couple of months.
I just don't get it, because for me, I can't songwrite. That's probably why. But when I think about what you're saying, like, you're getting better and better, it's like, what other things are you thinking of to sing about? because I just don't understand. Like, I, my brain is so limited to like five things that I could sing about, and then I'd be like, anyway, that's me. I've done an album now. I'll just call that a day. But you just keep thinking
five
of things.
Track album.
Yeah, it would be five. It would be five, maybe six songs if I could make two songs out of one subject.
Yeah, well, that is actually what you have to do a little bit, I'd
right.
say.
Okay.
Like, if you've been through one thing with one person,
how can you twist it?
Like, I can't tell you how many of my songs are about the same person. Because it's just like you come at it from different angles and you're like, okay, this day she made me feel like this, or this day.
Gosh, she must have been a fucking nightmare this day. Does she know who she is? Sorry, she obviously knows who she is, but does she know she's in the songs?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to be fairly naive stupid. to miss it.
Okay, how does that make you feel, that they know? I mean, you just have to get on with it, don't you?
Yeah. Probably never going to see you again, so...
Oh, chill.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine. I'm over it.
Yeah, done. We just need any massive bitches, please apply.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just slide into the DMs.
We need some more material.
I'm well up for it.
Yeah, sick. Let's get some more heartbreak in there. Emily, thank you so much for coming in. It's been so lovely to chat, and I'm really excited about what's to come for you, that more releases in the new year.
Thank you so much.
Is there anything you can tell us about the next release that is, that other people don't know, maybe that you don't know? Just make it up.
Yeah, so I mean, it will be coming out, I would say, in February.
Ooh. So just before the tour.
Just before the tour, so I will be playing it on tour.
Perfect.
And I think that's all I can say. Okay.
Is there any collabs on it, and would you ever do a collab on it?
Oh. Yeah, I totally would.
But it hasn't.
Like, in my last EP, I had that collaboration with Olivia Nelson.
Yeah, but I mean more like, would you do kind of like the pop thing of having like on an album, it's like, oh, there's five other artists on the album, or do you feel like your first needs to be just you?
I think I'm going to keep it pretty solo for now. Yeah.
And if there was anyone else in the world that you could do a song with right now, this very second, they're going to slide into your DMs and say, Emily Burns, get to the studio now because we're about to make the biggest banger.
Sounds weird, but I'd actually say Pink.
Oh my God, I love Pink.
I love Pink.
She also is so good live, like crazy
yes,
good live.
I know, I've been like four times. It's getting a bit strange.
No, it's not strange. She's a recording artist who people go and see.
Yeah, she's so great and just like big inspiration to me and my music and my general life.
And just
up.
Being like a complete rebel. Like that's just like, oh my God, I'm such a rebel. I listen to Family Portrait and just like rock out.
Yeah.
Just a pill, like a pill. Banger.
So Pink, if you're listening...
Hit up Emily Burns.
Hit me
Pink.
Up.
Well, you've got your pink hair right now, so yeah, it would really make a lot of sense.
It's a perfect match.
If that ends up happening as a result of this show,
what are you going to expect from us?
A shout out on the song,
in the track.
Just don't explain the shout. Just shout my name, Harriet, like in the middle of the song.
Yeah, okay. If you make this happen. I swear to God I would do that.
Are you joking?
No.
Okay, fine. Sold. It turns out actually Pink's my aunt. No, she's not. I wish she was. Right, let's play a little bit of music, I think. Damn Good Liar is a brilliant song. Thank you to the Damn Good Liar for the inspiration for the song.
Yeah, thanks, babe.
But thank you next also. Not thank you too much. Emily, can you introduce this for us?
So my name is Emily Burns and this is my new single, Damn Good Liar.
You made your heartbeat race somehow. A silent talk between our eyes. You made me feel like I was your red letter. Talking about us like there was no other feeling that could ever measure. I thought you were falling, but you la 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 la. You would have to be a damn good liar to fake emotions like that. Yeah. You, I guess you're just a damn good liar. And you la 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 la. I know you told your friends about me.
la la la.
Liar, Emily Burns. Thank you so much to Emily for popping by. Very excited for her album. Can't wait to hear it. Talking of another FUBAR favourite, Nina Nesbitt has dropped her brand new song, Colder. She's just announced she's going to be doing a headline tour around North America and has dropped another single. This is another single from the upcoming album, The Sun Will Come Up, The Seasons Will Change, which is coming out February 1st, 2019. Another one produced by Fraser T. Smith, same as her previous one, Loyal to Me, which was a horrendously brilliant banger. So this one is featuring... So the whole album is featuring some very hot production from Lost Boy, who we know from Anne-Marie, Fraser T. Smith, Adele, Drake, Gorillaz, Florence and the Machine, Jordan Riley, who's worked with Macklemore, Zara Larsson, and, of course, Nina herself. We're obviously really, really behind Nina and all she's going to be bringing in February next year. She's touring constantly, I swear. That girl never stops. But this is her track, Colder. Really big fan of it. Excited to what things to come next year for Nina.
Used to be vulnerable, used to be dumb. I used to give it all, all like a firestorm, 100 degrees. Open now, I'm so cold. When they kiss me, they touch me, they freeze. They say, watch you never trust, watch you never love, watch you never let him in, watch you wake up with somebody in your bed again. And say you love them to leave. Why out so late, dancing with the fake friends, getting in a state. When the good guys come, why'd you run away? Why'd you hurt them? Well, I'll tell you. When you're young and you get your heart broken, and it leaves the scars open. When you can't believe it's over, that's when you get a little colder. Yeah, when your heart's broken, and it leaves the scars open. Drunk, crying on his shoulder, that's when you get a little colder. They'd have to break me down, show me real do is they fuck my head up. They say, watch you never trust, watch you never love, watch you never let him in, watch you wake up with somebody in your bed again. Say you love them to leave. Don't you wanna stay, don't you wanna try putting up a fight deep down? You know you can make it right. Don't just give in, oh no. When you're young and you get your heart broken, and it leaves the scars open. When you can't believe it's over, that's when you get a little colder. Yeah, when your heart's broken, and it leaves the scars open. Drunk, crying on the shoulder, that's when you get a little colder. That's when you get a little colder. When you let your gun go, when you let your heart fall, when it starts to hurt, oh, that's when you get a little colder. When you're young and you get your heart broken, and it leaves the scars open. When you can't believe it's over, that's when you get a little cool. When you're young and you get your heart broken, and it leaves the scars open. When you can't believe it's over, that's when you get a little cool.
your heart fall. When it starts to hurt, oh, that's when you get a little colder.
Colder, Nina Nesbitt. Cloves is here.
Hello.
Hello, love.
Hello, love.
How are you?
I'm good.
Very exciting time for you right now.
It's been interesting.
One Big Nothing has dropped, your debut album.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people, having read a lot of things online and reviews and stuff, a lot of people, it seemed that there was a lot of excitement over what was going to happen with this album.
Yeah.
And everyone seems very chuffed about it.
I'm glad. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, I think, as well. Like, for me personally, I feel like I'm such a music enthusiast and I'm really, really passionate about trying to build my craft in a way. And I think I kind of built a lot of pressure for myself making this record. So as soon as I put it out, I feel like a lot more excited to make music.
Yes.
Because like, I feel a lot freer.
Well, I guess you've ticked the box, haven't you? Because it's like that thing for new artists. It's the follow-up to your EP and everyone was like, oh, this is an amazing EP, let's see what she comes with the album. And then that's that extra pressure of like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I just want to make music and you're just making it such a high-pressured...
Yeah, I think also for me, like, I feel like I'm very much a goal-driven person. Like, mm-hmm. I like to really set myself to, like, this is where I'm going, this is where I'm going, this is where I'm going, because I feel really, like, lost without purpose. Like, it makes me...
Are you the
feel-
kind of person that writes lists?
No, I'm not a list maker. I'm just like, I need to know why I'm doing this. Otherwise, I don't do it. Like, that was literally like my school report. My school report was like, Katie's like, she's fucking lovely, but she just doesn't do anything she doesn't want to do. And like, that's me consistently through everything. Like, that is me. I'm like a fucking nightmare. I'll be like, I just don't want to do it. And I just won't do it. I'm like,
that makes me so happy that she's on the show. Because if she didn't want to be here, she wouldn't be here. That's very good.
I'm not trying to be funny or anything. But even like...
No, but that's such a good way to be with music.
No, it's true. It is true. And I feel like for me, like I really set myself a goal of like, I'm going to make an album. And I set it from when I was like 13 years old. It was always this like continuous thing of, I'm going to go to London, I'm going to make a record. And so it kind of built up in myself as well. Not just from other people, but... Yeah.
It's that impetus that you've had since you were 13 as well that has made this, I think, probably. Because, I mean, we've all experienced the slow and painful life lessons that you get.
Yes.
And we've had the shitstorms and the self-growth and the coming out the other side. And I feel like One Big Nothing is a real fully formed representation of human life, mm-hmm. in that sense. Because you can't have the... blue sky without the thunderstorms, can
you? I think it represents mistakes, lessons, moving forward, taking six steps backwards and then moving one forward. That's kind of, that was even the album process in itself. It was like I'd make a track, write a song, and then, you know, work on it for like 6 weeks and then be like, I actually fucking hate this, and then like going backward. And it was that in the context of the lyrics as well. It's very much like, you know, six steps forward, six steps back. Like, it's back and forth, and it's that growing up period in your life, you know.
One Big Nothing as well, the title is, well, to me it kind of it resonates and reads as that when you're so worried about, I don't know if this is how you feel about it, I'm sorry if it isn't, but I'd love
it's
to hear
fine.
When you have that thing that you're really worried about and then it ends up just being one big nothing, that
it's exactly it. It's that thing where everything that goes on in your life is all consuming in that moment.
And
as soon as you move past that moment, you're like it's a calmness, it's a sense of like, oh, okay. And it almost changes you for the better, I think.
Even the worst things that happen, there's something good, something comes out of it.
Yeah, because you change, like you physically, like in your like soul, you change. And that's exactly what it is. It's like all of this issues and stress and anxiety and not knowing and questioning and then moving past that and being like, oh, you know what, I'm here.
And you're fine. I'm alive and I'm okay.
You're okay, exactly.
And I think it's something that everyone focuses on in terms of like mental health now as well. It's definitely something extremely important when you're going through that horrible thing, moment, second, day, that you always know that the next day and the next day and the next day, even if it takes 100 days, it will get better and it will be.
Yeah, that is it. I think especially when it's like an extended period of time where it feels very dark, very sad, and everything feels like, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. I don't really understand. I don't get any satisfaction out of anything. I think really sticking to that like hopefulness is important, because otherwise you just, you know, what else do you got?
Yeah, what do you do? Where do you go from there?
Mm-hmm.
What's what... The tracks are all, it's very much a journey. Everything smooths into each other, but also each track has its own moment and its own story to tell. But is there a specific one that you personally resonate with? Not that you don't, because you obviously resonate with all of them. Cause that's
but the thing is, like, for me now, especially because it took so long to make the record, I feel like I've grown past the record.
Yeah, yeah.
I genuinely do. And it makes, that's like, even now, because I'm doing a lot of writing right now, and I feel very much like everything new that I make is my new favorite thing. And I think maybe for the record, for me, I still love, like, Wasted Time for me is a really big one for me. It's one of my favorites just because it's got such a like 90s nostalgic mm-hmm. feel, and that's kind of where I'm going with my next stuff as well. So I feel like that really like hits me on that last arrangement as well. It's very like Moby inspired how it falls off at the end.
That's interesting as well, that it's representative of your new, not new, but your elevated evolved style.
Mm.
So it's the one you click with the most. That's nice to have that. It's like, that's the link to the next album. It's
exactly. Like that, and I think Up and Down, the end of Up and Down as well, like those kind of like arrangement moments where they have that sort of Verve-inspired like ending, you know what I mean? Where it really gives you the ending that you want. I think that's really what I want to take the rest of this next coming, whatever it is, EP, record, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, some collection of music that will be released.
Yeah, exactly. I just think it will be a lot tighter and a lot quicker this time, just because I feel like even on this record, I've gone through like a university degree in,
because it was 3 years.
To make songs. Yeah. And it's also like, I think Wasted Time for me represents like almost getting to where you wanted to be with something, and then you can go better and better and better.
But it's, yeah. To listen to it, at the moment, obviously, in terms of the charts and in terms of what is making pop music right now, it's so different, but it fits in so perfectly.
Thank you.
Because I feel like, you know, like when Alanis Morissette was really big, and it was like, that was a real moment for music like that. Right now, it's like the charts are dominated by R&B and trap and like different kinds of music. But I feel like this album sits so perfectly within it, because it is pop music, it's just different, it's like more alternative. But for me, as a lover of hip hop and a lover of pop, it's just, it fits so well for me, and I loved listening to it.
I think for me personally, I am very much like, I love alternative music, but I also can't listen to alternative music if there's not a melody or if there's not a structure. Like, I see melody like little patterns and little ways to float around, and I have to understand it in my head for it to feel like it's a real song for me. And I think that is pop music. It's just structure, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also another thing that we did on the record was we were so tight and intense on syncopation, and I never wanted it to feel like a band record. As much as it has elements, as much as it has guitar music in it, I always want it to be very, very syncopated, so it really doesn't feel like it's just a band in a room with all this mess.
But that's so interesting, because that's what I meant about the Alanis Morissette link, was because it's like, it's just her making the songs, and it's felt so much like, because obviously even your name is Cloves, which some people, if they didn't know you and didn't know anything about the music, they might think, oh, because it's like, it could be the name of more than one person. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you listen to it, it doesn't feel like you're listening to, you know, like the 1975. It's like you hear that it's a band.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It totally feels like it's not that.
Yeah, it's always finding the balance as well to make sure that it feels like the vocal is such a key element, like the vocal is an instrument in the track, to make it feel very like soloistic, if that's a word, isn't it?
Well, let's make it a word now. Call up the dictionary. 0800
the dictionary police.
I make up words every day.
It's
so
good.
Yeah, I'm, because I don't know many, so I just make them up.
Exactly, got to fill in the space.
Yeah. Do you feel like you, because 3 years, as you say, it's a moment, it's a long period of time to be working on one thing, and now you've kind of cathartically digested it and it's done. But do you feel it is everything you wanted it to be, and you can walk away from it and know that that is your debut album that has made you proud?
No, but I'm cool with it. I'm not satisfied in any sense of the word, but I do feel like I'm cool with where it got to.
That's like the most rock star answer I could ever have imagined, because that couldn't be more what a fan would want to hear.
Yeah.
Because it's like, for me, I think the album's wonderful.
Thank you.
And to know that your thirst for creating something better is there is so exciting.
Yeah, I think when I finished it, it made me even more like, fuck, I need to do something else right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it needs to be better.
But also, that's very normal because you spent a fuck long time on it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, anybody doing anything for that amount of time would never want to hear it again.
And I think anyone that thinks that their shit is the shit is always not the shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even I think some of the artists I look up to the most, like, oh, because sometimes I'm like, I feel really bad. Like, why don't I feel complete even though I put so much effort into it? And I'll look into like interviews of, I don't know, someone like Tom York or whatever.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, yeah, I still hate it. Like, oh, I look back now, I would change everything.
Mm.
And that's how I feel very much about the record.
But I feel like maybe that's who you are and maybe you'll always feel like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think that's the reason that I'm so like just depressing.
But you're no, but it's so I don't know, because it's like when you go say you do a gig or you do a thing and you're like you might just be that kind of person, because I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll walk away from something and someone go, oh, that was good, and I'll be like, well, no, because this wasn't and this wasn't. But that is the key to your happiness, is you almost find happiness in the imperfection of wanting it to be perfect and it not being perfect.
Yeah, but it does make things hard sometimes, I think, because it's like you come away from everything always feeling a little bit down.
Mm.
Like,
that's the life of an artist a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's like I'll get off the stage sometimes and I'll just feel so fucking down. I'll be like, oh, that show was so terrible. And everyone's like, oh, no, it was really good. I'm just like, I can't process it. It makes the highs and lows quite extreme, I think.
And I think that is, and again, another really important thing to talk about in the music industry, because so many artists feel that, especially when you go on and do a performance and the adrenaline is, everything is there, and then you come off stage and it's like there's just no one. You've been playing to hundreds of people and then suddenly no one else is there and you're on your own and you're in backstage and you're like, oh.
Yeah, and then you really struggle to work out why you feel so down, you know?
But it's adrenaline versus silence, and it's like, wow, that is actually a crazy leap from one to another.
Silence is loud.
Yeah. And it comes from artists that are starting out to artists, the biggest artists in the world, you know? And I think in terms of mental health and stuff like that in music, it's so important for people to know that that is something that is normal and artists do experience. It's about learning how to
channel it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, channel it into something positive, which is why I feel like I constantly want to make and write and do stuff, because that for me is positive direction. That's something to put it into.
Yeah. And is there anything that you're going to do now that you didn't do with this album? Like, are you going to work with anybody specifically or do something specific to kind of switch it up? Or is it just going to be the actual impetus and what you're putting into the album that's going to be different?
I just think it sounds different because I am different.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And it's like, for me, I really look up to people that just consistently evolve, you know, and just consistently make different things and change, and influences change. And for me, like, I'll go through 6 months where I only listen to like 3 songs. And I just, because I really want to digest it. And I'm like, I really, really, really want to write a song like these songs. So I want to get it like in my blood.
Wow.
Yeah. It annoys everyone around me because I'm like, can you stop fucking playing those 3 songs?
Yeah.
But I just really want to digest it. And I feel like it, and then I move forward onto 3 new songs. And then the next
is there
song.
A song that you can tell us that you're doing that with right now?
Just a lot of like, it's like a lot of 90s music.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah,
90s like bands music. But for me, I really want to make sure that what I create still feels modern and contemporary.
Skunk and Nancy, do you like them? I fucking love Skunk and Nancy.
Is it bad that I don't know who that
oh
is?
Oh my God. I think you'd like Skunk and Nancy.
Okay.
It's Skin, a woman who's the head of the band, and I actually met her at Glastonbury and I cried.
Really?
It's really like very female empowerment, like wonderful vocals, but also the music is sick.
Sick.
Go and check it.
Skunk and Nancy.
Skunk and Nancy, like Skunk and Nancy, but all one word.
Okay.
You're going to love it.
Okay.
On that note of loving it, we're going to play One Big Nothing now. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For coming by. I can't wait to hear the next the next moment, whatever it's going to be. But also, this is going to be on my playlist for a long time. It's such a good album.
Oh, thank you.
Whatever you think, it's amazing. And thank you. And could you introduce One Big Nothing for me?
I'm Cloves and this is One Big Nothing.
was standing in the doorway. You ain't gonna let me leave. And your wild eyes ignited a fire in me. Now all I want is to forget you. I'm getting across the pain, and I'll do anything I have to. And I'll do anything I have to be far away, dressed in these lullabies. Tell me when someone, somewhere, I wish you were. Looking back over my shoulder, I feel not far behind. And every day you're getting closer. I'm on borrowed time. Will anybody even notice the blood of love I've had? Guys, it's into focus that I'd do anything I have to be far away, dressed in these lullabies. Tell me I'm someone, somewhere. I wish you were in your case. Live out this alibi, make all my suffering. Won't be nothing, nothing. Won't be nothing, nothing. I gotta let you go, go, go. Cause every day I don't, don't, don't. My body will lie. And I will never go back home. Bigger future I've my own. I'll think of your last time. I'll think of the past. One big nothing. One big nothing, nothing. One big nothing, nothing. One big nothing,
Big Nothing, Cloves, beautiful track. Welcome, Kwasa.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm not too bad, yeah. How are you?
Very, very good. You've just been reborn, haven't you? We've got a new song.
I guess I have, yeah.
Moonwalking.
Yep.
You've changed. So you originally, your name was Kaiko, and now, like a Pokemon almost, you've evolved into another.
I've just adapted, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I released a couple of EPs under that old name, and this is...
Which did really well, and you did it all on your own, didn't you? And it was just, people really caught on to it. It was really exciting.
Yeah, it went really... Yeah, it was... I did the first on, like, my own label, and then did the second with, like, a little independent called Lab Records.
Sick.
And then, yeah, and then this is, like, the next stage, and... I've got one tune out under it so far, so yeah.
And how's it feeling?
It's feeling really good, yeah. I took like a year and a half, nearly 2 year gap in between releasing, so it was like a lot of songs and a lot of overthinking, and so now to have it out,
classic.
It's like fresh. I feel good.
Yeah, it's a very easy thing to do as well, to overthink. You
oh,
know?
Yeah, 100%.
Especially when you're changing. Because, I mean, you were really, like, it went really well. You sold out London's O'Meara, which is amazing.
Yeah,
thanks. And everyone was, and the EPs were great, but it feels like a real fresh start. And this track is, it's a definitely a different direction. It's more, I want to say, like, adult and kind of evolved.
That's cool. I'll take that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's I definitely, when I did my other stuff, I started it when I was like fresh out of college.
Yeah.
I was like 18.
Teen, proper teen, yeah.
Yeah, I was like I'm only like 22 now, so I'm not like, I don't feel like I've grown up fully, but.
No.
Like the other songs were mostly about like traveling and, you know, when you like want to do your gap year and it was a lot of about that. So like I kind of wanted to live a few things and say a bit more and switch it up.
And what made you choose Kwasa as your new name?
Well, it's like Vampire Weekend, one of my favorite, like all time favorite bands, and they have a song called Cape Cod Kwasa Kwasa.
Kwasa, yeah.
Yeah, which is like one of my favorite songs, and it doesn't feel too far away from Kaiko, which it was before.
Yeah, no. So, it's not like a violent change. It's more sort of an evolved. That's why I've used the Pokemon reference, because it felt very much like, you know, caterpillar to the butterfly type thing.
Oh, no, yeah. Mm. Hopefully, yeah. Kept the K. That's
Keep the key. K, keep it going. So you're currently working on your first EP.
I am, yeah.
You said just before we came live that you have got a lot of music that you've been working on that you just can't wait to get out. So what is the plan for you next? Now Moonwalking is out. The video, by the way, everybody needs to go and check out this video.
Oh, thank you.
You've proved yourself to be quite the dancer.
Well, I'm clouded by an actual dancer.
Yes. But, she choreographed it as well, didn't she?
Yeah, it was Charlotte Hannah. She like put the whole thing together. They did it all on the day. We all like...
Was it one shot?
Up. It's one shot, yeah.
Yeah, that's stressful, isn't it?
It was stressful, yeah. I think it was more stressful for the director and the camera crew, but
you were very relaxed though, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You it looked like dancing was just, you were like Sinatra, you were just boom, straight in.
It didn't feel like that.
Oh really?
But no, it's cool. We're sorting the next video at the moment for the next tune, and I think we're gonna try and keep some sort of consistency in the, I might try and up my dancing a little bit. Yeah, I work on it, yeah.
I'm excited. It's going to be like Strictly Come Dancing, but each of your singles.
The
is just,
goal,
yeah. Just better and better and better, achieving. Love it. And I feel like the track itself is really lovely. It feels very romantic as a song. Did you write it in a very romantic headspace?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, because I had such a long time off, I wanted to try and like push myself to write about other things and like, be a bit more personal and
because this is, you said it's like your most personal release,
yeah,
right?
Pretty much, yeah because I wrote it with a guy that I've done a lot of other stuff, and like I've known him for a long time. We talk about stuff and then he'll like squeeze it out and then we'll put it into a song, and
then you're like, wait,
and then I'm like, you've used me.
I didn't mean to say that.
So yeah, no, it's definitely, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's me trying to push my writing out a bit.
It's exciting because it's I guess showing off a level of change that you feel, and you've taken the time, you haven't rushed it, you haven't, you know, jumped straight into the next project. You know, this is a new beginning, and that's so exciting to come out with such a nice, beautiful song is definitely a good start.
Oh, thank you.
You've announced some rather exciting headline shows next year.
That's happening, yeah.
March, Night People in Manchester and Borderline in London. That's on the 27th and 28th of March, respectively. What will Kwasa's live show be like?
It should be pretty exciting. I think we're working it out at the moment. Normally I go at the full 5-piece live band and try and make it as fun as possible. So I think we're just going to try and cram as many people onto. Borderline's quite a small stage, so we're just going to try and get as much stuff and
Brilliant.
Have as much fun as we can and make it as noisy as we can.
Okay, just loads of noise and loads of people. I hope more dancing as well.
I hope, yeah. I hope I can incorporate that.
When you're on a night out, like you've let go of work for 5 minutes, you've released the chokehold of music, and you want to go to the club and you want to have a bop, what is that go-to dance moves that you regulate around?
I mean, I'm such an amateur, I probably just go straight to the floss.
Oh, okay. Can you show me on your seat?
I can do a sitting down floss.
Yeah.
You can just hear my puffer, yeah?
Okay, so that to me is the most... That it's this thing, right?
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Oh, don't you can't?
Know, doesn't, my body doesn't work.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought that was in the same spectrum as the dab.
Basically, it's a genetic problem that I have that I've not ever been able to do the floss.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And now I feel very jealous of you.
I mean, I'm probably over-talking myself, but...
You just out there doing... Because basically, yeah. I always see tiny children doing it. And
yeah,
I'm like,
that's what
how
it is, yeah.
do they move their bodies like this? But now a fully-fledged adult is able to do it as well. I'm in hell.
I'm just hoping that wasn't on video somehow.
Yes,
that,
yes, it absolutely
was. Oh, excellent.
So you also are involved in 100 Club, a DIY fashion label, by the way.
Yeah.
Very sick t-shirts. They run runs of 100.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how that all came about. You actually do some of the illustrations, is that right? You do some of the scribbling.
Yeah. I do it with a girl called Gabby. And it's kind of just picking up a bit more than we expected it to. It's like it started off with t-shirts and I do doodles and we put them on a t-shirt and print 100, and then now we're trying to branch out and do some. We just released like a roll neck, and we're trying to do some trousers.
Roll neck.
Oh, cool!
Very cool. I'm into roll necks, as you can
maybe
see.
Maybe a beret as well. Who knows?
Sick.
I'm up for that. Yeah,
100 berets. I like it. I like it very much. I'm really excited. It seems like things are going to go from strength to strength for you. Just before we go, we've got only a minute left of the show, but I want to ask you, what was it like being in the youngest band to play at Glastonbury? Because I saw that written and I was like, oh my god, that's the best thing ever.
How young was I? I was like 15, I think.
Amazing. And you played Glastonbury at 15.
Yeah.
What were you doing in the band?
I sung and I played bass.
Sick.
Yeah, we actually just played this pub in Pilton, which is by Glastonbury, and it just happened to be Michael Eaves' local pub.
Oh my
yeah,
god.
And then he
yes!
was there. But I was so young, it was all like a blur, but and then he like somehow put us on a stage and yeah.
That is the sickest story of life. Well, congratulations on all the exciting stuff that's going on for
you
right now. Should we play a bit of Moonwalking to say goodbye to everyone on the show?
Sounds grand, yeah.
Thanks to everybody for tuning in to Fubar Radio. I've been Harriet Rose. We'll be back same time next week. Kwasa, can you introduce Moonwalking for us?
Yeah. I'm Kwasa, and this is my song, Moonwalking.
And waiting for you, I didn't need nobody else. Crossing 1,000 borders, maybe just trying to find myself. Wasn't so complicated, thought it was hard to read. Gone are those days, now love runs deep. You got me moonwalking, with all your sweet talking. You know, you know, you know. All of my deepest regrets, all of my biggest secrets. So good, too good. Tell me if I'm being fooled. Stop now. Cause you found a way and it's freaking me out. Breaking all my rules, no doubt. You took a part of me nobody else could break down. I'm giving it all away. A 1,000 beaches, trying to get high on memories. Swam with the creatures, yeah. Thinking that air was all I need. Once you got locked into me, that's when I realized that I needed more. I needed more. You got me moonwalking with all your sweet talking. You know, you know, you know. All of my deepest regrets. All of my biggest secrets, so good, too good. Tell me if I'm being fooled. Stop now. Cause you found a way and it's freaking me out. Breaking all my rules, no doubt. You took a part of me nobody else could break down. I'm giving it all away. Sweet talking, you know.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.